journey of faith. And then we need to remind ourselves some of the very important things we said about faith so that we can go on. We said that faith is not hope. We said that faith what? It's not hope. Faith is now. Hope is future. Let's say it together. Faith is now. Hope is future. Number two, you cannot walk by faith and walk by sight at the same time. It is not possible. It is impossible to walk by faith and walk by sight at the same time. A lot of people mix it up. And we should listen to these teachings because, believe you me, there is no other way to live this Christian life except by faith. There's no other way to walk in victory. There's no other way to walk in victory, overcome sin, overcome devil, overcome whatever, except through faith. It's very important that you are familiar with what faith is and make sure you practice it, because that's the only way to live a Christian life. And so, you can't walk by sight at the same time walk by faith. And you must understand very clearly what it means to walk by sight so that when in the heat of life, you can walk by sight without knowing. And then you say, this thing doesn't work. But it works because the word of God is true. So now let's take examples and be able to find out what it means to walk by sight. In John chapter 20, verse 25. John chapter 20, verse 25. Let's see example of walking by sight. John chapter John 20, verse 25. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said, but he replied, I don't believe it unless I do what? See the nail wounds in his hands. So they were the same page. I think I'm reading King James Version here. I'm reading King James Version. King James Version. So the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not what? Faithless, but believing. Now let's stop here. Let's stop here. And in the background of what the Bible says faith is, which is Hebrews 11:1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, with that background, looking at what happened here, what Thomas said, and the Lord came and said, what you are saying and what you are doing is not faith at all. You are faithless, you are unbelieving. Now, how does it compare with the definition of faith? What evidence is Thomas looking for to believe? Evidence of what he can see and what he can touch and what he can. So the Lord Jesus said, if you are looking for evidence by what you can see, what you can touch, what they say you are being faithless and don't believe. So it's easy to know when you want to walk by sight. If you are looking for evidence to believe from what you can see, what you can touch, what you can see, the Lord Jesus said, you are being faithless and unbelieving. Because faith is evidence of things not seen. So you can't be looking for evidence by what you see. That's not faith. Because sometimes in the heat of life, when the tire meets the rubber meets the road, believe you me, it can get tough. It can really get tough. Especially when things last a while. You know, when we talk in church, it's easy. But when you get into the laboratory of life, it can heat up. It can really heat up. I've been there. Not once, not twice, several times. It can heat up. And so, the evidence, faith is evidence of things not seen. So I can't look for evidence of what exists by what I see. But when the heat of times, when things heat up, we don't know when we switch to that. I'm not kidding you. We switch to that. And then see what Jesus said, the next verse. The next verse of that, John 25. We're reading from verse. John 20, sorry. 27. John 20, 27. Okay, let me read from here. Then said he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hand. And reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side and be not faithless, but believe it. The next verse. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Then the next one. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast what? See me, thou hast now believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet what? So he's saying those who assess the blessings of God are those who believe that it is there, it is true before they see. Those who assess the blessings of God are those who believe what God said, that this exists. It's a substance. It's there before they see. Those who assess the reality of the new life, the eternal life, those who assess the power of God in them, those who assess the new creature they are, those who assess the blessings that know them under the curse, who see it work. I know those who are looking for evidence by sight, that those who have believed is there, even though they have not what? Seen it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Evidence of things what? Now, so Thomas was walking by sight. I want to ask us, what is the possibility that you can walk by sight and walk by faith at the same time? It doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. So why do we look as Christians? Why did the scripture say we should look? 2 Corinthians 4:18, King James. 2 Corinthians 4:18. Why we look not at the things which are seen? Why we look not at the things which are seen? Where was Thomas looking? And then looking at those things which are seen, he will never find the evidence of faith. It's not possible. Because faith doesn't come by what you see. You will never have faith. You will never. But my brothers and sisters, this is what a lot of people in the body of Christ do. They don't know what faith is. And they say, I have faith. I have faith. Pastor, I have faith. You don't have faith because you say I have faith. I'm telling you. You don't have faith because you come to the Fountain of the Living Word Church. I have faith. Pastor, I believe God. It's not like that. You cannot get the evidence of your faith from what you see. The Holy Spirit says, therefore, why we look not at the things which are seen. That's where the trouble marbles. Because the devil will try to force you to look at the things that are seen. He did it to Peter. While Peter was walking on water, the devil said, well, let's kick this guy out of this thing. They upped the game. They stopped it. It became too stormy. And Peter took his eyes off Jesus and started to look at what was happening around him. And the Bible says immediately he began to see. And Jesus said, why did you doubt, Peter? Why? Why did you take your eyes off my word that said come and put it at what you can see? What the devil is doing. Praise the Lord. So the battle not to look at the things we see is not a cheap one. I'm telling you right now. It's not an easy one. But that's the way the Christian lives. Why we look not at the things which are seen? Because there are some reports doctors can give you. There are reports they will give you. You panic. You seriously. I'm telling you. You panic. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Church, I said, praise the Lord. I want to hear it. I said, praise the Lord. So we give attention to what God says. They give attention to what I'm saying. Again, it goes all the way in the way we live our lives now. You live in your family with your wife and children. If you look at what, if you depend on what you see, you never walk by faith in that family. You can't. Because somebody will do something, oh, you talk about it. Your children will do, you talk about these children, they will never change. Why walking by sight? Why walking by sight? Why don't you declare what that, you call those things that are not as if what? They were, I declare they are a blessing. You're a blessing. You grow up to be a major blessing. I walk by sight. It applies in every aspect of our life. And so you find Christians talking mainly about what they see in life, what they experience at their jobs. They talk about their managers, how evil they are, and how this is this, and all that, and then the people get real evil. You know why they're evil? Because you are saying so. Yeah, I told the wife, I said, that man you say is evil. I said, do you know why she's evil? He said, no. I said, you are the one causing it. I said, you empower, you are releasing that. And mama, it, I said, that man will remain evil as long as you are saying it. Right? I told her, I said, if you want to change it, you reign on earth. God gave you the authority to reign. Your word is power. I said, change what you're saying. Call him a friend. Declare that this man is the best friend I have in this college. He will help me. He will do this. He will do that. Did it not happen? She changed it. The man changed. And by the time she left, the man was her best supporter. What switched it? Stop walking by sight. Walk by faith. Until you switch to faith, you will not see the glory of God. You're not going to see it. You're not going to see it. You know, we talk about our lives in terms of what we see. Mostly in terms of what we see. So what is what God said? I was studying the other day and I saw something amazing. Jesus Christ never described anybody except the way. He said, when John the Baptist was at his lowest, even doubting him, and say, are you he that what? Comet or? You know, at that point, I would have said to people, look at this man. This man that the Holy Spirit showed me. How can he? What did Jesus say? He said, who did you go out to see? He began to describe John the Baptist according to Scripture. Read it. Go read it for yourself. He didn't describe John the Baptist according to what he was saying. He described him, he said, this man you people see. Oh, wow. Of all the people born, of all this Old Testament, he says the one that God sent. He was describing him according to what God said. If it was me, he would have had another description. After, look at him. And he, after all these things God showed him, and he's the special person God even sent. Now he's even doubting me. Why am I saying so? I'm walking by sight. Brethren, it's huge. Walking by sight can affect any aspect of your life and my life. It's something we need to train ourselves about. Praise the Lord. You know why your spouse is that way? It's what you say. I remember when my wife, you know, she didn't know this thing. Nobody taught her this thing, but she was practicing it. My father would call her. They were praying for me. The Lordship of Israel. I was the one. So they'll go to church, enter the house, I will see them, I'll be laughing. I said, these people. When they come out, I said to her, I said, so you people think I won't go to heaven, eh? I said, let me tell you, I'll be number one right there. I said, oh, so you people are counting me out. She won't say anything. But she would tell my father something. It's amazing. She said to my father, he will change. God will change. She kept that testimony going. She never changed it. Come what come, if you say to my father, he will change. No matter what they said, he will change. And it happened. Now, I carry her like egg. Now, she's finishing my credit card. I took my wife to buy her something one day. We bought so many things, and I put it on the counter. And the woman there said, why don't you get the woman that owns this thing to come so that we make sure that it is her size? I said, this is the woman. She said, hey, it is the woman. He said, if you are running for president, I'll vote for you. I said, yeah. She was there. He said, he's like, you don't find men like this. For one, somebody told me, say, you buy these things for your wife? I said, yeah. There are not many men like this anymore. But this is the man that she said he would change. If you don't walk by, you can't walk by sight and walk by faith. And faith applies to every aspect of your job, your family, your children. Why the thing is lasting? It can be tough. Because the devil can turn this thing, stir it so badly, and really attack your emotions. So, man, you know, one of the greatest targets of Satan is your emotion. If you get you emotionally destabilized, you cannot concentrate. You are gone. He wants to make sure that emotionally you are upset. You are angry. You say things you shouldn't say, do things you shouldn't do. You are not yourself. So there are bruising things you can jam in this life that will really, really bruise your emotions severely. Severely. I'm telling you, very, very severely. I was coming back from Canada, across the border, and somebody called me with very, very challenging news. Very, very severely challenging. I'm telling you. And I was driving back. It was something you didn't want to happen. I was racing back. It was raining heavily. And so when I got back here, I had to leave my house and go to somewhere that night. Drove hours again. So you can meet situations that really, really emotionally bruise you. It was so serious that somebody called me from Canada to know if we got home. And I wanted him to leave me because I was grappling with something. So he called Pastor Tunde. He said, Daddy, it's not like that. What is going on? He said, leave him alone. Just leave him alone. You can encounter things that will bruise your emotions severely. But that situation, God has turned it around. It's not what they said. Nothing they said happened. Nothing. It was just that close. Mean it was almost gone. But everything has now. There was a severe test of faith. Very severe. It can be severe. But you need to ground yourself, to train yourself not to walk by sight. Because if you saw what I saw, if you walked in there and saw what I saw, it can be tough. I'm telling you. It can be really tough. Can I hear amen? So when your children are not doing well, for God's sake, stop walking by sight. Call those things that are not. You're there. Because that's the way God deals with things. Praise the Lord. Tell somebody it is well. At least say it now. Tell somebody again it is well. How is it that when we come home and things are not good and we're talking to our spouses, we tell them all the bad things and leave it like that? Why don't we say, honey, you know, this thing happened, but this is what the word says. This is what was that. You tell them all this bad thing and take down everybody's faith with you. Everybody is crying because of your testimony. Didn't the Bible say when they say there's a casting down, you say there is what? Yeah, that's how Christians live. That's why we make a difference. Make a difference. That's how you make a difference. So let's look at somebody else who walked by faith and refused to walk by sight. Or let's read Hebrews 12:1 before we go on. I don't know if, am I communicating to you? Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, New Living Translation. Therefore, since we are surrounded. It's not surrounded, it's surrounded, it's not surrounded. All these people from the village. How long will you live before you speak this thing well? It's not surrounded, since we are surrounded by. Are we fighting a war? It's not surrounded by these people from Umuchu. There's a no question. Surrounded by. Since we are surrounded. It's not surrounded. It's surrounded. Surrounded. Please, let's not go there. This is how we type in my house. Since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith. See, the Christian life is called the life of what? Faith. I wish I have time to go down and show you something. Life of faith. Let us strip off every weight that slows us down, including this walking by sight. Part of it. When we talk about the ways that people are down, we're going to, it's adultery. What you say keeps you down. You know? Let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Nothing trips you up or trips me up like what we say. Trips you up. And let us run with endurance the race God has what? Said before us. How do we do that? How do we do verse 1? See how we do verse 1. We do this. That's how we put off these things. Not by power, not by mind, but by spirit. We do this. Verse 2. We do this by keeping our eyes on who? Jesus. The champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy waiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding his shame. Now he's seated in the place of honor, besides God's throne. So you disregard the things you see and trust the Lord Jesus Christ and trust what the scripture says about you. It can be tough for a while, but joy will come in the morning. So we do this by looking unto Jesus. Remember, while we look at things that are not seen, we don't look at things that are seen because that's not the source of our faith. Now let's look at Abraham, Romans 4:16. Therefore, it is of faith. I'm reading New King James Version here. Romans 4:16, New King James Version. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Continue. As it is written. This is where I'm going. As it is what? Written. What is written? Let's read it. I have made you a father of what? So how can you say I've made you and there was no baby coming? I've made you a father of many nations. In the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. 18. Who, contrary to hope, it was beyond hope, it was hopeless. Contrary to hope, in hope believed. Mark that word, in hope believed. In hope what? Believed. So that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. What is it that was spoken? So shall your descendants be. He believed according to what was spoken. The evidence of his faith was what was spoken, not what he saw. What did he see? What did he see? Huh? Lifeless body of who? Both himself and his wife. That was him. I mean, you're not telling him about somebody else. This is him. And he knew he was old. He saw the wife. Old. And the man said, I'm not going to take that as my evidence. My evidence is what he said. It shall be according to what he told me. He said, because he gives life to the dead. He believed God, who gives life to the dead. That God is God. If he said so, that's it. Now, if you are a gynecologist, and Sarah came to you, you say, can you test me for pregnancy? What will you say? Madam, go. Don't pay me. Just go. You don't need to be tested. I'll test you for. In short, let me tell you, it says high risk something. You can't even deliver it. Just go. Well, surgery. How can we do surgery? You don't have skin. Nothing. Go. That would have been what would have happened. Yeah. But let me tell us something about God. Have you realized that God works best when it is most hopeless? Have you realized that? So that's when you are in that situation, you should really be glad because you are close to something busting up. Because it's not by power. It's not by might. It's not by doctor. It's not by anything. It's by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit knows no limitation. You can be 200, he can keep you here 200 years, would make you have 10 children. After all, how many children did Abraham have after that? 6 more. We are talking of miracle of Isaac. After Isaac, the man became a man. Married another wife called Keturah. And with Keturah, he has 6 more children. God did abundantly above all that we can think or ask. That's 6 more children. We talk of he had Isaac. And we thought, God said, you think I hung a moon? No, wait, I'm not done. The man went to marry somebody's daughter. I mean, if it's your daughter, Abraham came to marry. At 100. Because we are reading it now. Because we are reading it now. He knocked on your door and said, sir, I saw somebody. He said, who did you see? He said, I saw, there is something, somebody I saw. He said, is it your daughter or granddaughter? Who are you seeing? This one that should be your grand, which one? Great-granddaughter. My friend, go home. He married somebody's daughter. Let's talk for, he did. Because the favor of God was on him. The favor of God was on him. God made it possible. He had 6 more children. 6 more. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The day I was reading that thing, you know what the Lord told me? He said, I have never done anything but what is abundantly above all a man can think. He said, check my actions. He said, when I began to bless the church, I started to add and I started multiplying it. He said, when I do something, it is not barely. It's always in abundance. He said, I gave you life and gave you life more. He was showing me. He said, I don't do barely stuff. He said, I do it in abundance. Praise the Lord. So Abraham walked by faith, not by sight. What was the difference? Now let's talk. This side, what was the difference between Abraham and Thomas? Going, what was the difference? Okay, my auntie, because of my auntie. That's my mom. So what was the difference? Let me honor you, mom. Why Abraham walked by faith? I give you that. He believed what God said. Okay, what difference? What about Thomas? He walked by. Where was he looking for the evidence to believe? Eh? From what he... So where was Abraham looking for evidence to believe? What God told him. Rema, faith comes by what God tells you. That's why people read Bible and say, I have faith. They don't have nothing. God must speak to you directly. You don't have faith by general knowledge. You don't have faith by general knowledge. Faith comes by hearing. You must hear. You must hear. If you don't hear, you keep studying, you keep talking to God. You must know. Abraham said, Job, he said, I will stand here, I will know what he has to say to me on this matter. Yep. Job, he said, I will stand there and know what he has to say. That should be our attitude. Until you hear God, my brother and sister, you don't have business for faith. Faith comes from hearing, not by reading, not by, comes from here. Of course, when you study your Bible every day, if you haven't had God, you haven't studied. I keep saying it. When you study, and you start, the Holy Spirit start talking to you and teaching you, you realize it doesn't go by standards. It takes you into fishing expedition. Bring this one here, bring this one here. Reminds you of this. By the time, I can be on one verse, 1 hour is gone. I haven't moved one verse. I mean, taking reference from here. He brings this one, and I make note on that one, and then brings this one to me, and I join it. He say, go to this place and see. And they bring it. All this is teaching me. He hasn't said anything personal that relates to any particular issue in my life. He's teaching me revelation of general understanding. But when it comes to issues in my life, he takes from what he has taught me, leaves one of them and said, this is it. And that's what I hold on to. Praise the Lord. I didn't hear you. That's what I hold on to. Until you hear, don't have business for faith. And if you try to start have faith without hearing, you'll fall flat. You are going to fall flat. I get more confused. You got to hear and be sure. Abraham had God. He said, according to what he spoke, I know what he told me. So nobody's telling me another thing. I'm sure what he said. He said, so that is it. That settles it for me. So he's not going around asking people, what am I going to do about this? What am I not going to do? It's not necessary. Because he has heard what God said. Praise the Lord. Now, I want to talk about mental ascent. That's what we said before. Mental ascent is a mimicking of faith. It is a simple mental acknowledgement of God's word that is not really agreeing with it in his heart, and so does not plan on doing it anyway. It is simply mentally acknowledging of God's word that is not really agreeing with it in his heart. And so he's not planning to do it. He agrees, yeah, it's true, but he's not planning to do it. He's not even interested in it. He's not interested in it. So here is what Kenyon said. I think I read it the last time. The greatest weapon that Satan is using today to make the world ineffectual is the weapon of mental assent. This weapon is utterly dangerous because it is so subtle. Mental assent is hard to recognize because it comes clothed in the term faith. Before we can understand the difference between mental assent and faith, we must understand very well what faith, each of them means. So he said, the condition referred to as mental assent happens when one tries to act as if they are in faith when they are really in hope. So that you must understand the difference between faith and hope. Between faith and what? And hope. Now, let me pause here. While we read, the Bible talked of Abraham, that Abraham believed in hope. In hope, he believed. Let's go back there. Let me show you something before I will move on. That's Romans chapter 4, verse 18. Romans 4, 18. Who, contrary to hope, in hope what? Believed. He believed in hope. He believed in hope. Now, you need to understand how these things interplay. Abraham believed that what God has said is done. But he was hoping now to see it manifest. Because hope, faith is evidence of things not what? Seen. So because you don't see it, but you believe it exists, but you hope to see it. Not because it hasn't happened, but because it hasn't yet been seen, the manifestation. So Abraham wasn't going to ask God to do this again because he believes it's done. But he said, in hope, believed. What is it? Who contrary to hope, in hope, believed. So you see that the hope of faith is not the hope that said it's not done. It's the hope that says it is done, but it has not been seen. But I will see it. It's a confident expectation based on what you know is real. You know it's real. You know it's true. So that's why the Bible said that through faith and patience, we obtain the promise. Now let's go back to mental assenter. The mental assenter works in hope and calls it faith. He works in hope because he doesn't know, he doesn't believe he's done. He's believing and saying, God will hear me. God will give me. God will do it. God will do it is not faith. What is it? What is it? It's hope because it's in future. Faith is now. God has done it. But I will see it. So somebody walks in, Pastor, I believe God, oh, God will hear me. He thinks it's faith. It's not faith. It's not faith at all. Now, this is what Kenyon said. A mental assenter affirms that the entire Bible came from God, that it is God's revelation, and that every word of it is true. When a crisis comes, however, he says, yes, I believe the Bible is true, but it does not work for me. So he doesn't believe in the Bible. If he says it does not work for me, what he said, I don't really. But he says, I believe the Bible is true. It does not work for me. This is not the work for you. Have you had somebody say that? Huh? Yeah. So he says, such a person may be successful in knowing much about the world. He quotes it and teaches it. But as far as his spiritual life is concerned, he has failed. The true believer is a doer of the word, not a hearer only. The believer builds on rock, while the mental assenter builds on sand. Now, it means that the mental assenter is not ready, is not prepared to do it. He just wants to talk about it. It's a talker, not a doer. He talks the talk, but he doesn't walk the walk. So he really doesn't believe it, because the proof of faith is doing. The proof of faith is what? Doing. That's why James said, faith without works, dead. The proof of love It's not words only. The Bible says, don't love in words only. The proof of love is in doing. It's an action. You can't tell me I love you, but you're about to kill me. That's not love. The Bible tells us actions that correspond to love. Love is patient. Love is this. Love is that. Long-suffering. But these are actions that correspond to love. So you can't say, I love you, my brother. I love you, my sister. But you go behind me and gossip about me. That's not love. It's not love at all. So faith is the same way. Faith is proved by action. So that's what the mental assenter does. He believes, talks about the Bible. Well, he won't let anybody hear. He will teach himself, explain it so much. But when it comes to doing, it's nowhere to be found. Why is he not doing it? Doesn't believe it. Doesn't believe it. So let's see what Jesus said. Mark 7, verse 6. Mark 7, 6. He answered and said unto them, well had Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, these people honoreth me with their lips. They honor me with their what? Lips. But their heart far from. Howbeit in vain did they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. He said this lip service. There is no action to it. There's no action to it. So actual faith ends up acting. If I'm not able to act like what I believe is true, then I don't really believe it. What I believe is what I'm acting. Whatever I'm acting is really what I believe. I may not acknowledge it, but what I'm acting is what I believe. And so, like the scripture said, faith without works is what? Is dead. So faith has two actions. You say it, you act on it. Everybody say with me, you say it, you act on it. Let's say it together. You say it, you act on it. Let's say it louder. You say it and act on it. One more time. Say it, then act on it. If you are not able to say it, you're not able to act on it, you don't believe it. Don't believe it at all. And one of the main serious reasons that people walk in mental accent, and I want you to listen to me. Please look up here and listen to me. One of the main reasons that people walk in mental accent is lack of understanding of the difference between the Old Testament obedience to the law and the New Testament obedience of it. They are not the same thing. The Church of Jesus Christ has taught Old Testament obedience. They don't know New Testament obedience or faith. They are not the same. And when you don't know the difference, you pursue Old Testament obedience system, you convince yourself you are walking in faith. But nothing can be further from the truth. When you walk in Old Testament obedience, you are not walking in faith. The Bible says so. I didn't say so. You're walking by sight. You're not walking in faith. But that's what the churches teach a lot. And that leads to legalism and all this kind of stuff. Let me repeat it. The Old Testament obedience to the law is totally different. They are not the same. So the New Testament obedience of faith, they are not what? One will take you away from blessing. The other way will bring you to the blessing. One is living by faith in Christ and what he has done. The other one is living by faith in you and what you do. They're not the same. Now, look at what the scripture says about this thing. Galatians 3:12. King James Version. Galatians 3:12. And the law is what? Huh? I want to hear you now. And the law is what? Not of faith. If you walk by obedience to the law, you're not walking in faith. It's not of faith. You're walking by sight. You're walking dependent on what you do. You want to see what you do. You're not walking by faith in what Jesus did. You're walking by sight. Because you can't walk by faith and walk by sight at the same time. He said, the law is not of faith. But the man who doeth them shall what? Live by them. And look at Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is what? Impossible to please him. Now stop there. But the law is not of faith. So how can you please him with the law? But it's not of faith. Why is the law not of faith? Why is the law not of faith? Huh? They say, but why? Huh? Huh? Why is the law not of faith? It depends on you rely not on God. You can't say I'm doing the law because I have faith in God. No. You are doing the law because God says you go do it. Now, the Bible says, but without faith, it is what? Impossible to please God. Now, if you are teaching me Old Testament the obedience to the law, you are taking me away from pleasing God. It's not possible. Don't you get it? Because in that mindset, in that system, my faith is not in Christ. My faith is not in the cross. My faith is not in the blood. My faith is not in the Holy Spirit. All of which didn't come at the time of Moses. All of them didn't come at the time of Moses. So at the time of Moses, nobody could say, I'm putting my faith in Christ. It didn't come at the time. Am I communicating to you? Look at Galatians 3:24. Wherefore, the law was simply our what? Schoolmaster to bring us to who? Christ. That we might be justified by faith. Continue. By faith in that we might be. But after faith is now what? Come. Which means there was a time faith hadn't come. The law is not of faith. So about the time of law, why? Jesus is the author of faith. The author of faith has not. Oh, somebody shout hallelujah. The author of faith has not what? So he said, but now the law leads us to Christ, who is the author of faith. He said, but after faith is now come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. We're done with it. Why? Because faith has now come so that the just can live by faith, not obedience to the law, which is without faith. Faith has come. The author of faith has come. And the Holy Spirit said to you, look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Galatians 3:10. For as many as are of the works of the law are what? I didn't hear you. Are what? See what it does? Because it's not of faith. And you can't assess the blessings of grace only through faith. You can't assess only through faith. Now the law is not of faith. It doesn't bring you into blessings. That's what Jesus was telling Thomas. He said, only those who believe before they see are blessed. You can't believe. You can't be blessed if you are walking by sight. The law is sight. It's not of the spirit. The law is walking by sight. It's walking by what I do, which I can see. Let's do this one. And I do this one. And the Pharisees, look up here, let me talk to you. Do you know why people think that grace will make people commit sin? Because they don't believe in the gospel. You know why? I know, come. Let me show you something. I want you to understand what's going on here. Come. This is the law. His name is Law. This is the law, okay? Please look up here. And those who don't walk by faith, who don't trust the testimony of God, the gospel message, they think that if you take away the law, that man is lost. He has no more means of walking to please God. So they get nervous. You see? Did you hear what he said? No, we need the law. Why? They think that this is the savior of the world. They think the law is what makes this man righteous and good and holy. So their faith is what? I don't know if you get what I'm saying. You tell them you don't need the law, they get nervous. Because they mean well. They mean well. But they say, okay, you've done the law. How do we live holy? People will commit sin, no? Why? They think that this is the thing that is keeping people from committing sin. So to them, this is the savior of the world, law. Yep. So to them, their only hope in this world is this law. So if you take it away from them, they start sweating. They get confused. So they took away the law. We are finished. No, they have to bring the law. Pastor, people will be committing sin. People. The Bible says the law is not of faith. Okay. Let's change his identity. He's now Jesus. He says it's better. Between him, come. You are not Jesus. Come, Chioma, come and be Jesus. You are even smiling. He's been acting. You are not Jesus. You are Lord. Chioma, come. Now, let's say Chioma is Jesus Christ. Between both of them, who keeps you from committing sin? Huh? Huh? What did Jesus say? Without me, you can do. He didn't say without the law. So if you want to walk by faith in him, you don't trust this one. You go to this one. Because I'm kept by the power of God. This can't keep me. This is the one that brought me life. This is my savior. This is my hope. This is my confidence. This is everything I have. And this is the one they told me to look unto. And in order to walk by faith, I have to rely entirely on him. So my New Testament obedience is to trust him from morning till night and night till morning to rely completely on him. Then he can make me what I will be. He supplies the strength. I cannot do all things through, but not through this man. So when they teach me and say, hey, you don't need this man because it's not your object of faith, you can say, yeah, that's true. Take him away. This is my object of faith. Those that trust in him will not be put. The New Testament obedience is called obedience of faith, where you act on the word that he is the word. If it says to you, you're a new creature, say, yeah, I'm a new creature. That's who I am. If it says to you, you are blessed, you don't walk by sight. You wake up and say, I am what? Why am I saying so? My faith in him. His word is here. Where did this man tell me I'm blessed? Why did this man tell me I'm a new creature? Why did this man tell me that he saved me from the power of sin? What can this man do? But when I don't know him, they tell me he came to take away this, doesn't help you. I said, no, pastor. Hey, people will come and say, no. Hey, pastor, how else will they live? You make people sin. Why? That's my confidence. And the Holy Spirit called this Cana clock. He says it gives you death, brings you condemnation. It has no power to save you. We are kept by the power of God, not by the law. But when you, the day you begin to understand the necessity for him to come, is because you know that he's the only hope of mankind, not this one. So from that day, you stop looking to this one. You give him final goodbye. My friend, I don't want to see you here again. Go. And then you come and marry to this one. Join to the Lord. So now you walk by faith, not by sight. So he talks to you by his spirit, communicates to you daily. He's in communion with you. He's in contact with you. Supplies you power, supplies you energy, guides you in life, stands with you. In the valley of shadow of death, he's right there. The Lord can't do anything in the valley of shadow of death. He can. So now, between me following her and following him, he is walking by faith. Church, talk to me. Between him and you, who is walking by faith? Between. You don't know. Between these two, if I'm following this man and somebody is following her, who is walking by faith? Because he's the author and finisher. And the Holy Spirit said, look to him, not to this thing. This thing is written on paper. This is life itself. This is God himself that came. Emmanuel, God is with me. So why should I not look up to God and go look at paper? Am I communicating? So you see, people say, how will people live holy? Through faith in Christ. The Bible said the judge shall live by his faith. When you live by faith in him, you activate his power. You activate his glory. And he said, only believe and you will now see my glory in your life. You see what you can't do happening. You see those things you are struggling with, they go off you. Because I have made you a new creature. I took a word that says, you see it become real. No effort, nothing. It's what he did that begins to manifest in my life. Why? I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and died for me. Thank you. And I hope no. How many of you got what I'm saying? You got what I'm saying? Huh? So, the New Testament obedience. It's obedience of faith. Faith is the New Testament obedience. If the church knew, they would teach it people. For when people begin to live by faith, they'll begin to see the glory of God every day. When people begin to live by faith, they have victory every day. Because the Bible said, your faith is your victory. When people begin to live by faith, they build shield that quenches everything the devil throws at them. And when people begin to live by faith, they please God. Praise the Lord. I want to read two more scriptures. I'm done. Romans 16:24. It says, all nations should live now by the obedience of faith. All nations. Romans 16:24. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is King James Version. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Can we say amen? Don't go. Don't go. 25. Now, to him that is of power. Listen to this. He is of power to establish you. The Lord can't. He is the one to establish you according to my gospel. And the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. This is the gospel. Now to him, 26. But now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations. Why was it made known, this mystery? For the obedience of faith. Now, James and Paul are not contradicting, they're complementing. James said, faith without works is what? That's what he's saying. That if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you act like it is. You act like faith is action. Otherwise, it's mental. You act like you. He said the devils believe, but they don't act. They even shake, but they don't act. He says, all nations will now receive this revelation so that they believe it. That's what God is demanding. Only believe. And then you see the glory of God. And we said to believe it means to say so and to act like it's so. Romans 1:5. So he's talking about all nations again. Romans 1:5. Romans 1:5. By whom we have received grace and apostleship for what? Church, for what? Obedience to the faith among all nations. Obedience to the faith is not the same as obedience to the law of Moses. The law should get out of here so that you are married to another, so you can produce fruits of righteousness. That's what the Bible says. Joined to Christ, so he produced fruit. So what's the New Testament to obedience? Obedience what? Because when you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, when you believe in him, you see the glory. See his glory. You see what? The Bible says, who makes you to be different from another? It says, is he not God? And if he's God, why do you... Jesus has made the difference in our life. We cannot have mental assent to the gospel. We must believe it entirely and live by it. That's what Paul said. He said to all nations, you have to believe the gospel and live by it. And faith means saying what God says and acting on it. If you don't act like the gospel is true, you don't believe it. Now, let me read to us what Kenyon said about mental assent. This is what he said. Listen to this. Many Christians who are living in the realm of mental assent today are living barren. They are living fruitless spiritual lives. They, all their lives, have been seeking power with God in their lives and prayer. They have never learned to live by the word. They have not learned to live by faith. They live in the weakness and failure. They live in weakness and failure and want. Because they have no conception. They have no conception of the real meaning of believing God's word, of really acting upon the word. The word declares that they have been made new creation in Christ, but they don't have the conception in their head that they have been made righteous, righteousness of God, but they don't have the conception in their head. They say it in their mouth, but they don't believe it. That they are joined heirs with Christ, but they don't have the conception in their head. They just say it in their lips. It doesn't exist in their spirit. That the authority of the name of Jesus is theirs in prayer, but they don't have the conception. They just say it, but they don't believe it. And that God shall supply every need of theirs, yet they have no consciousness of these truths, no consciousness of righteousness, no consciousness of God supplying of all their needs. No consciousness of authority in the name of Jesus. No consciousness of strength with which they can do all things that is in Christ. This is due to the fact that their attitude has been one of mental assent, and Satan has robbed them of all their blessings in Jesus.